All right, before I get to my next guest, Rob Shreno, I want to give a shout-out to our friends over at Positive Vibes Golf. Check them out online at PositiveVibesGolf.com and give them a follow on Twitter, at PVibesGolf. Their head covers and putter covers are a very unique way to keep your mind focused on positive thoughts. They're a great on-course training aid as well because they help you stay positive by putting positive, happy images in your mind. You heard Bob Friend talk about that earlier in the show, how it releases tension, help it get your mind back in the right spot. Because every time you walk back to your golf bag and you look at your head covers or your putter covers, you're going to smile. See what I'm talking about by going online to PositiveVibesGolf.com and give them a follow on Twitter, at PVibesGolf. I also want to give a shout-out to our friends over at Golf Tech for their support of PGA Hope. PGA Hope is the flagship military engagement program of PGA Reach, and Golf Tech is offering donors their choice of a free golf lesson or a club fitting. Help us support PGA Hope's mission to improve the lives of our military veterans by expanding this program and improving your golf game in the process. As a donor, you can choose between a 30-minute lesson or a Golf Tech iron or driver fitting at your local Golf Tech location. Check out more information online at golftech.com/PGA Hope. This segment of the show is sponsored by our friends over at 2Under, Men's Performance Briefs, the unofficial underwear of the PGA Tour, worn by PGA Tour players like Ricky Fowler, David Toms, Jerry Kelly, William McGirt, Jason Kokrak, and Matt Everett, to name just a few. Your buddies are going to think you're a stud if they're even seeing you in your underwear, and that's a whole nother story. And your girlfriend and or wife is going to love the side effects, a visually enhanced profile. The Joey Pouch technology provides the ultimate male asset management. It separates a man's most valuable assets from bodily contact to reduce unwanted skin-on-skin contact, providing less chafing, more control, and an altogether more luxurious feel. Start every round 2Under by wearing the coolest performance briefs on the market and use coupon code ONTHET20 to save 20% off your order at 2Under.com. And that's the number 2UNDR.com. All right, now back in making his 7th appearance with me here on the French Lick Resort guest line is Rob Shreno. Let me remind you about Rob's background. He's from St. Louis, Missouri. As a junior player in the St. Louis District, Rob won the individual low stroke average trophy and individual total points trophy back in 1981. He was a 3-time All-Southwestern Conference and a 2-time All-Area player in high school, played his college golf at Centenary College in Louisiana, played out on the PGA, Nationwide, and Hooters NGA Tours for 15 years, and won 5 times. He's now one of the top instructors in the game for both kids and adults. He's annually recognized by U.S. Kids as one of their top instructors. Plus, he's one of the few teachers in the game that's teaching the game to deaf children. You've probably seen Rob on the Golf Channel Academy, where he's a lead instructor, or on his TV show, The Golf Kingdom, which you can watch on Blab TV. Download the Blab TV app, check it out there. Coming soon to some online other sites as well. His Shreno Golf Academy is located at Kelly Plantation in Destin, Florida, which is a beautiful facility. It's one of the best courses in that area. And I'm honored to have Rob back with me again tonight here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Rob, how are you, my friend?
Doing great tonight, Chris. It's awesome to be on with you again. The great Mascaro, seer, soothsayer, and sage of the golf airwaves. I'm always excited to be with you, my friend.
I appreciate you. So, Rob, I mean, you know, you've got so many great things happening. I mean, the Golf Kingdom was, you know, a tremendous, you know, first season you had there on TV. You've got the Shreno Golf Academy there at Kelly Plantation doing great things there. Catch us up. What's going on with you?
Well, it's been a busy year with the Academy. And of course, hosting my own TV show regionally here in the Southeast has been fantastic. It was kind of a dream come true. It's been something I've been working on putting together to be able to produce it with my crew and air it and stream it nationwide. We've had viewers in 25 states. Watch the show, great reviews. It's a little kind of a different show. It's not what you're used to seeing on like the Golf Channel where it's stand there and coach. It's truly a variety show. We entertain, we have skits, we have guests. I've done all kinds of crazy things on the show from dancing and singing, of which I'm not good at. But I seem to have a very high threshold for embarrassment. So I've got no problem throwing myself out there to come up with creative ways to entertain people and help them learn more about the game of golf and improve their golf game, too.
And to that point, Rob, you do so many different things and so many different segments on the show. When you think back at all the things you did over the first season, got to be a lot of things that you're really proud of when you look back, because you, as you point out, this is your first time doing it and it came off really well. What are some of the things you're most proud of?
Oh, gosh, I think off right away. I think about the Declaration of Independence, your Declaration of Golf Independence show, which was our 4th of July show. It was about teaching you how to move your body parts independently of each other in golf. And I did that show entirely in a George Washington powdered wig. That was met with lots of fun comments. Our segment called Talk Nerdy to Me has been great. That was we did that to talk about the science of the game. My segment called It's Just Hot Air, which is sponsored by an air conditioning company, talks about the myths and misconceptions of the game. We've done things from parkouring onto the set to our recent Halloween episode, where we kind of had a nightmare scenario to start the show, and my crew turned into zombies and attacked me. It's just I've got a great creative crew. We bounce ideas off each other, and we have lots of fun coming up with some of the crazy things we do to entertain people. I did a segment a couple of shows ago with a trash can. It's a simple household trash can you have in your bathroom. I had three drills using a trash can. You can do it home, or if you want to, take the trash can to the course. And that one, I had a lot of good comments about that one too, Chris.
Yeah. So, and I watched that, and you did a great job. But for those that are trying to picture, what the heck is he talking about doing with a trash can in my golf swing? You mind sharing that tip?
Well, there are three of them, if I can remember them all. The first one was, if you grab the trash can by the side, so the top is open. We kind of had fun with it. I said, my crew filled it with golf balls. And you want to go back and hold it out in front of you like you're set to a golf ball. And as you go back, you want to pivot the trash can and dump the contents out behind you. You know, most people will twist it the wrong way and they won't dump anything out. But to get the arms in position, you want to go back and dump the contents behind you over your shoulder. And I said there were golf balls in there. What we actually put in there were ding-dongs. And so my crew was eating the ding-dongs during the show after I dumped them out. And then at the end of the show, in the closing credits, I had one they saved for me. And I started to eat it. They kept the camera rolling. And I ate this thing in two bites and was talking about ding-dongs with my mouth full. And that was a pretty funny close to the show. But then the other one was put the trash can between your legs in your setup and swing. And to calm your leg action, don't bump the trash can when you swing. And then the final one was, to keep from peeking when you putt, put it on your head, get set to the ball first, put it on your head, and then hit a putt, and you can't look, so it teaches you to keep your head still.
You know, Rob, we've been talking an awful lot about putting over the last several weeks, and that's one of the things that I think most of us, and I'm as guilty as anybody, of doing is leaving it low on the right side, on the low side of the hole, because we want to peak, right? We're anxious, we're nervous, or whatever, and we're peaking, and then the putter blade opens up, and the next thing you know, we haven't given ourselves a shot to make that putt. So the idea of putting the trash can, so you can't look, is kind of genius. But talk about what are some other things that we can do? And you gave me some good tips when I got the opportunity to spend some time with you earlier this spring. But for those of us suffering from, whether it's the yips or, you know, however you want to call it, and we're always missing it on either the low side or the high side, how can we go about making more putts?
Well, going back to what we were just talking about keeping your head still and not peeking, an upcoming episode, I'll tease it, I did the Elvis drill for putting. So thank you very much. It was a great drill. but basically what you want to do is pop your collar. So pop your collar so the collar is sticking up, and the corners of your collar will poke out, so that when you're set up, your chin fits between the collar. And what you want to do is hit the putt and not bump the collar. So if your head's moving from side to side, or you're twisting your chin, or you're peeking, if you do that, you'll bump the collar and you'll get instant feedback that you're doing that. So one way to keep your head in the putt is just do the Elvis drill. You know, pop your collar, keep your head still. that's a key thing to do. Another thing you can do to stay still or putt is, you know, the skier squat you do to work on your quad strength. We did it in basketball in high school. But you lean against the wall and you slide down the wall and you hold that position.
Yeah. Well,
that one you can do to help your putting and help you stay still is instead of sliding down to your legs are, your upper leg is parallel to the ground, slide down a little bit on the wall, cross your arms, and then move your shoulders back and forth. And in that position, it locks you down and it teaches you that independence I was talking about to move your upper without moving your lower. So if your lower is wiggling around, that's changing the orientation of the putter face and the path and really messes you up. Like you said, you can miss low, you can miss high, depending on the breadth of the putt.
And Rob, one of the great thrills for me and my son Jonathan this year was we got to meet up with you at Augusta National, got to spend some time with you, and then you introduced us to Bob Golby. And Mr. Golby won the Masters in 1968, won 11 times on the PGA Tour and a couple times on the Senior Tour as well. And his nephews, which I didn't know until much later, but his nephews are Jerry and Jay Haas, and obviously his grandnephew is Bill Haas. But talk about what a great player Mr. Golby was and your relationship with he and his family.
Gosh, I've known Mr. Golby since I was 4 years old and played golf against his boys. And of course, Jerry Haas is my contemporary. Jerry's a year older than me. And Jay, I think Jay's like 9 years old or so. So as I was growing up in the game, Jay was off at Wake Forest and then turned pro, and we'd see him frequently at the club. But I've known them for a long, long time. And one of my greatest thrills was I was probably 12 years old at the time, and I was at the golf course all day. No one had played more golf at St. Clair Country Club in Belleville than Jerry or myself. No one's played more golf there ever in their life. I was out there all day long, and one day I was up on the putting green practicing, and Jerry and Mr. Golby were going to go play, and they said, "Hey, you want to join us?" I said, "Sure." So we get over to 13, and 13 is this little volcano part three. It slopes off on the right. It slopes off on the left. It's a narrow, skinny green that can't be more than 25, 30 feet across. And if you miss it left or right, you're going to make bogey or double. The pin was on the left side of the green, and I pulled it, and it hit and bounced down the left-hand bunker, which was just dead. And I got in there, and I flipped a decent bunker shot out to 10 feet, which was pretty good from down in there. And I made the putt, which was a really good three. And I walked over, swinging on my putter, while Jerry was putting. All of a sudden, this big shadow came next to me and elbowed me. It was Mr. Golby. I looked up at him, looked down at me, and he said, "Darn fine save, young man." And when you're 12 years old and you've got a Masters champion pay you a compliment like that, tell you what, you stand a little taller, your heart gets a little bigger, and your confidence grows immeasurably.
Talk about his influence on the rest of your golf career.
Oh my gosh. Whenever Mr. Golby or Jerry talk, I shut up. And, you know, and Jerry paid me a great compliment a couple years ago. He said, "You know, a lot of players don't listen." He said, "To your credit, you listen." And I mean, if I had a dollar every time I heard Mr. Golby say, "The back of the left hand controls the club face," you know, I'd buy us both a TV and radio studio. We'd have our own spot to host our shows. And I heard it all the time. And so, you know, the influences, the stories from the tour, I mean, whenever I'm with him, I am taking notes, either in my phone or in a notepad. There's just, you know, one day we were just talking. He said, "You know, I've never seen a great ball striker who did not have his right heel in front of his toes at impact." Just boom, out of the blue, just that comment. And just an amazing wealth of knowledge in that quote-unquote old school. We get wrapped up in all the new technology of the game and the learn the biomechanics and, you know, the radial order deviation common thoughts and alpha, beta, gamma torques. But you know what? that old, you know, school stuff still has a place in the game. And you know, the great thing about the game of golf is the voices of the past coach into the future. Whether you read about the Hogans, the Sneeds, the Bobby Joneses, and the Hagen, and how they played the game and what they did, what they thought, and how they persevered and dealt with, you know, a crisis in a golf tournament, how they worked through things to win tournaments and become champions. Those voices still coach into us now in the future and are still applicable. And the great champions of the game now have studied and learned from the great champions of the past and can tell you the things about them that the players that only hope to be great don't even know.
And Rob, to that end, you're right. I mean, there's all kinds of technology. I mean, obviously the technology and the equipment and the golf ball is different. We have TrackMan now, so there's a lot of data and those sorts of things. But the fundamentals of the golf swing, they haven't changed that much over the years, have they?
Well, you know, we throw the word fundamental around a lot. And there's another couple coaches that I heard this from. This isn't an original thought. But by definition, a fundamental means something that everybody does the same. So it's something that's the same across the board. And it's like people will say, I want to work on my setup fundamentals. Well, you don't set up like me. We're not built alike. I certainly wouldn't set up like Henrik Stenson, who's 6'4", or Nick Faldo, who's 6'5". Brian Harman, who's shorter than me, he wouldn't strive to set up like me, or I wouldn't set up like Natalie Gulbis. So setup is a puzzle. My job as a coach is to figure your puzzle out. How do you fold yourself over a golf ball so that you can then move athletically and correctly and do what your body will allow you to do to successfully, number one, control the face, number two, deliver square and solid contact, and number three, produce speed to launch the ball. So the fun, you know, one of the few fundamentals is what I just mentioned is impact, shaft length, left hand controlling the club face, solid center squared impact, shaft orientation to the ground. All those things become very fundamental as you look at the great ball strikers in the game compared to the everyday player who may struggle with ball striking.
Rob, when I think about some of the things that you've done, right? I saw a great video that you put together about a tip. You talked about, you know, Jerry Haas. It's a 3-wood drill that he shared with you so that you could, you know, talk about, you know, getting more confidence. I think that's a place that where a lot of us lack confidence is 3-wood off the deck. We tend to chunk it. We tend to top it. We don't make solid contact. But he shared with you a 3-wood drill that that I think would help a lot of us make more solid contact with our 3-woods. You mind sharing that drill?
That was a good one. We were out the last tournament of the year on what was then the Nike Tour was out in Sonoma County, California. This is in the mid 90s, and it was the last event of the year, and it was an event that Jerry went on to win. He won 3 times that year on the Nike Tour, and that's why they have the Battle Still promotions because of him. So a great feather in my good friend's cap that he did that, and they recognized if you win 3 times in a year, you should automatically get promoted to the big tour. But we're getting ready to go play a practice round, and I walk down from where I was hitting balls a few places down from him, and he's hitting 3-wood, and he's got him on a tee. And I said, hey, Jerry, what are you doing? I said, why are you hitting him off a tee? He goes, well, you know what? I've been struggling with my 3-wood a little bit lately, and I just wanted to put it on a peg and just get some confidence in it. And that if I can tee it up a little bit, hit some good confident shots, then when it's on the ground, I hit these good ones, it won't matter. And I kept thinking, that's really, really smart. And that's one of the little inside things that you learn on the tour when you're inside the ropes. It's one of the big things I miss about not being a player anymore, is the inside the ropes conversations you have with other players. And so what I tell my players who are struggling with 3-wood is, I tell them, you're going to tee it up a little higher than normal and hit 5-ball. Get some confidence there. Then you're going to tee it down a little lower, higher than normal. Then you're going to tee it down normal and hit some and get confident. Then you're going to tee it down lower than normal, like it's almost on the ground, and hit it and get confidence, and then take the tee away altogether, and you should have confidence. Because the problem with three wood is it's the least lofted club will hit off the ground. Now, we can hit driver off the deck, but we don't normally do that. We'll hit the three wood off the ground, and we don't see a lot of space there, so we try to help it off the ground, and that's what gets us in trouble. So it was a great drill, and it was fun to ask Jerry and have him share it, and it was fun for me to get on Golf Channel and be able to give one of my best friends in golf and growing up some props for something on national TV that was really a great drill and helped players.
Rob, something that we saw recently at the Zozo Championship, and I think you retweeted it out on your Twitter page, was Bubba Watson teeing off completely sideways on a par five. It was the par five sixth hole, and he hit it back over the previous green down the fairway, sliced it so it was over a set of trees, across two holes, kind of leaving himself a short iron to the original hole green, which was pretty imaginative. He ended up only making a par out of it. But I'm curious, you played out on tour for a long time. Ever see anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I've done that before. Now, you're jogging my memory. Where did I do that? There was a hole. Oh, gosh. I remember. It was Monday qualifying for the old event they had at Callaway Garden in Callaway Garden. And the Monday qualifying cars, the first hole was kind of an S-shaped par five. And you could play into the ninth fairway on number one. And it happened to be my 10th hole. I started on 10, and I turned in 3 under and promptly played into the ninth fairway, upside the green, and put the wedge on. Otherwise, you had to play this kind of funny, circuitous route to get there. And that was one time I took a flyer on a hole and said, I'm going this way, and made it a little shorter route to the green. And I think I shot 65 that day. And was in a
wow
to get in the field and got knocked out in the second hole.
So if you had been in the playoff and they were going back through that same hole again, would you have done it again? Played down the other fairway?
I did do it in the playoff. Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't the only
Rob, one. Rob, a couple of more. Couple more before I let you go. And I want to get back to putting because one of the things you did on the show was a putting drill utilizing some sort of household items, including a AAA battery that seemed like a fantastic thing, made a lot of sense. Talk about what that drill is.
That was the Paul Bunyan drill. So it's actually, you use three batteries. You do use a DSC and a AAA. And on TV, you want to get about 3 feet away. So it's a drill to help you get confidence in short putts. So you get 3 feet or a club length away from the D battery, and you just try to knock the D battery over with your first putt. Then you have another ball, and you have a C battery, and you try to knock the C battery over. And then, of course, you get to the AAA, and that's pretty skinny. So now you're trying to just chop all three of them down in a row, and you chop that AAA battery down. Well, you know what? The hole looks pretty big when you can knock a AAA battery down from 3 feet. So it was a fun, creative drill to get some confidence and if you really focus on line when you putt. And I did a segment on my Halloween show. I did a segment on scary shots. And one of the scary shots are short putts. And one thing I always told myself in competition, Chris, was when I had a nervy 3, 4, 5 footer, I always told myself this. I said, you know what? You've made a million of these. Get in there and knock it in. This is just going to be a million and one. And you know what? When that thought was in my brain, I very rarely missed the putt.
Rob, I want to switch gears because I want to get your thoughts. I was just talking to Frank Nabilo about the President's Cup. And, it's 6, 7 weeks away. But I want to get your thoughts. If you're Captain Rob Strano, you picking Tiger Woods to be on your team?
My answer to that question is, how do I want to answer that question? My answer is no. And if I'm Tiger, I'm also not picking myself. And I heard Frank's answer, and I love Frank Novello. What a great guy. He's a great Golf Channel guy. I've had a chance to engage him in conversation in the studio before, and does a fantastic job for us as a channel. But my thought is, if I'm the captain of the team, I have a responsibility as being the captain. I am the captain of the team. I am the guy that's behind the wheel of the boat. I'm the guy that's calling the shot. And my team is looking up to me to do that and to be there and not be distracted. And I think that's the responsibility. It's an honor to be selected, whether it's Ryder Cup or President's Cup, as a captain. It's an honor. And I just feel like it takes away from that if you go, well, I'm going to play too. No. I think I don't pick him because his record's not that great, but I also don't pick him because, or if I'm him, I don't pick myself because I want to live up to the honor of being the captain. And to me, nothing could be more fun as the captain than to watch your guys win it for you as the captain. And what's interesting, I've got a few connections to the PGA Tour. And here, I hold in my hand an envelope. And as a child of four can plainly see, this envelope has been hermetically sealed. It's been kept in a mayonnaise jar on Funkin' Wagnalls' porch since noon today. And no one at the PGA Tour knows the contents of this envelope. And but me in my mystical and borderline divine way will tell you that this envelope contains Tiger's captain's pick, given to me to share with you. So I will now open the envelope.
Wow.
Here we go.
Envelope number one.
Envelope number one. Okay. First Tiger captain's pick. Tony Finau. Right there.
Right. Wow. The
great choice.
Tony Finau.
Palmer.
Okay.
Ryder Cup experience. Has been a great player here for a while. Okay, here we go. Envelope number two.
Envelope number two. Pick.
Ready? Yeah, I said that. Envelope number two. Here we go. Okay. Yeah. Good choice. Captain America, Patrick Reed. The guy lives for
this
stuff. He's got more red, white, and blue clothing than Betsy Ross had red, white, and blue fabric to make the flag. This guy will show up ready to go. Ready to go. Here we go. Envelope number three.
Envelope number three.
Yes. Yes. Three. Yes. Very good. Thank you, Chris, for sharing that. Envelope number three, the U.S. Open champion, Gary Woodland. You got to go with the guy.
Ooh.
He's been
clutch
all year. You know, Bomber doesn't impress me as being afraid of any big moments, and definitely at the U.S. Open was not afraid. Great choice. I hold in my hand now the final envelope. Last envelope.
Yay!
Yes, the last envelope. Okay. Now, this could contain Tiger's name. These are his envelopes. Might be his name. Let's see who he's got in here. Last envelope. Okay. The last name, Ricky Fowler. There's your four captains for the President.
Wow.
Fino, Woodland, Reed, and Fowler. That's
the
President's pick.
So, for Captain Rob Strano or Tiger Woods, any concern about picking Patrick Reed? That seems to be a controversial one because he's not that well liked in the locker room. Any concern about
him? I'm not. I mean, Patrick Reed, I've talked to Patrick and been around him a little bit enough to get a sense. He's never been anything more than cordial with me, around me. I love the guy's passion. I love the energy he brings to the event. You know, if I'm going to pick a wild card, you know, go off the grid and pick someone, here's a name I would pick off the grid. Ready? Cameron Champ.
Really? Why?
I picked Cameron Champ off the grid. I had a chance to follow him on Monday at the Sanderson Farms. That's who I just like the guy's game. Yeah, he can move it, but boy, his swing is good. And he and Sean Foley do a lot of good work together. And he's one of those guys that can get it out there. His game's sharp. He can make a lot of birdies. That would be my wild card off the wall pick. And you know, I like just picking the young guys. You know, I believe in the Ryder Cup, we keep picking these older guys that have all this baggage, and they've been just pummeled in the Ryder Cup. We keep going, hey, let's pick him because he's got experience. Yeah, he's got bad experience. That's what he brings. He doesn't bring any good experience. It's all bad. You know, that's Tiger. You know, he can pick himself, but his experience in these teams events is lousy. You know, and it's I wouldn't pick him.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm in that same camp, Rob. I don't think I'd pick Tiger either. I get 3 wins in the last, you know, 12, 13 months. Obviously, the Masters was a huge thing. The Zozo right after the surgery came back strong, looks good. But he's just not. He's not good in Ryder Cups. It's just the record, 13, 17, and I can't remember how many ties, 3, 4, whatever it is. But he's just not that good. And I don't know if it's because the guys he's playing with as his teammates struggle. You know, they can't sort of bounce off of one another. They put too much pressure on him. They leave him in bad spots. I mean, you know, I'd have to go back and look at all the film, but the record's the record, right? Bill Parcells, right? You are what your record says you are. You're 13 and 17. You're not that good.
I
wouldn't take him.
I look at it this way. Tiger got to be Tiger because of the lone wolf mentality. So I think it's tough for him when you put him with someone to separate the lone wolf mentality of him and the way he plays to win. You know, to win the 82 events, it's different than winning an alternate shot or a what I call it, a best ball match. You know, singles head to head, everybody's going to give them their best punch. The 17 losses is what gives me pause. Go, that's a lot of losses. That's a lot of taking off your hat and you going to shake the guy's hand. Because he took you down. That's a lot of tail between your legs moments. And I just think the lone wolf is what makes it a tough pairing.
Yeah. And if I was going to go the opposite direction and I was going to go ahead and pick Tiger for all of the other reasons for, you know, everyone wants to watch him, the TV and all that sort of stuff, I'd hold him out until Sunday and let him play in the singles match. And, you know, maybe I make him, you know, either the lead dog or the guy that I know I can count on in the end, because I think in the singles, he's probably fine. I think in the four ball and alternate shot, not so much.
Yeah.
Rob, before I let you go, remind our listeners how they can stay up to date with all the great things you're doing.
Well, we've got all our social media locations. I've got several different spots on social media, Strano Golf Academy, or to follow the show, you can follow me at The Golf Kingdom on social media. And the big announcement that I'm going to share here first, because you're my guy, Chris. I love being on the show, so I want to honor your show with this big announcement about The Golf Kingdom TV show. This week, you can now find The Golf Kingdom TV show on Roku and Amazon Fire. So we've gone national.
Wow.
We've got our own Roku and Amazon Fire channels. So for those of you that haven't caught it regionally in the Southeast or streamed, you can now on your Roku and Amazon device download the channel. So go there and search The Golf Kingdom. We've got the a welcome video there. We've got one of the first episodes up. So I'm kind of picking out our best episodes from season 1, and we'll be putting them out over the next few weeks so everybody can kind of watch them, enjoy what you've done in The Golf Kingdom as we get ready to film new episodes in 2020 for those two platforms specifically. So excited to have the Golf Kingdom available to everybody everywhere. And we'll be announcing that on social media the rest of the week. But I wanted to announce here first, just for you, Chris, because you're a good friend and wanted to kind of, do it with you here on the show. But that's the big news we've been kind of smiling about this week already.
That's fantastic stuff. Good for you, Rob. Congratulations. And I'm looking forward to checking it out there and then looking forward to season 2. I can't thank you enough for coming back and doing the announcement here on the show. And as I can say, 7 times. You're a great friend. You're a great instructor, and you're a 10 times better person. So I appreciate you very much, my friend.
Well, thank you. It's always good to be here with you and your listeners. And thanks again for having me, Chris.
Take care, Rob. We'll catch up soon.
You bet.
That's a great Rob Strano, Strano. Rob Strano, Robbie is just one of the wonderful people you get to meet in this life, and getting to spend some time with him this year. I had the honor of being down, like I say, at Kelly Plantation, and getting to some time to talk with Rob, watch Rob, and got a couple of golf lessons as well, working on my weight shift and my putting stroke. And it was all great stuff. And I can't thank Rob enough for his time. How about that? Roku and on Amazon, you're going to be able to check out the Golf Kingdom. So it's a fun show. He talked about it being a variety show. So Rob does a lot of creative things to help you figure out a way to, you know, improve your golf swing, right? It's a lot of different drills, and it's fun to watch. So it's not your average, what you'd see on the Golf Channel. Rob does some great stuff on Golf Academy. So he's got those videos out there as well. But Strano Golf is a great place online to be able to stay up with all the great things Rob's doing and follow him. And like I say, the Golf Kingdom, boy, I can't be more excited to think that now we can stream it. Blab TV is great, and it's got an app. So for those of us in the Southeast, you can download that app and stream it there. But for everybody else, it's a great place to go now. We have a couple of new outlets. So check out the Golf Kingdom. Rob's fantastic. All right, folks, it is time for me to put a bow on this episode of Next on the Tee. My sincere thanks go out to Bob Friend, Frank Navolo, and Rob Strano for joining me tonight. Please check out our website, nextonthetee.net. On there, you'll be able to keep up to date with our guest schedule, so you'll see who's coming up. You can also stream us. We link back over to podbean.com. And again, our sincere thanks to Podbean for featuring this week's shows right there, front and center on their mobile app. So you can go on there. You'll see us right there in the banner, and you'll be able to link back over to our page and stream or download any of our archive episodes as well. Please also check us out on LaunchpadDM.com. Click the subscribe button. We'd really appreciate that. You can also find this show on other great sites like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audioboom, and Player.fm. Please give me your thoughts. You can go on to Facebook. Check out our Facebook page, Next on the Tee with Chris Mascaro. So if you've got a comment or a question for someone who is a guest or has been a guest, please let me know in the comments section, and I'll be glad to get those questions answered for you. Folks, as always, I can't thank you enough for continuing to choose to make this show a part of your golfing content. We really appreciate you so much. Until next week, hit them straight, my friend.
You've been listening to Next on the Tee with Chris Mascaro, where PGA and LPGA pros and top instructors and media members go to tell their stories. Join us the same time every Tuesday to hear